The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
Said, go and preach the word to all the world. The Lord said, go and preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way.
Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say,
good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquille, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of you. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. Let's open them up to Psalm 103, and we will read the entire psalm. David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remembered his commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye of his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That was Psalm 103. This psalm was written by David. Many scholars think it expresses the attitude of his heart following his tragic experience in the death of the child born to him by Uriah's life. You know that story. David had sent his armies out to battle, and instead, as the usual custom was of going with him, he stayed at home. Now, that was his first mistake. We need to be where we're supposed to be. David should have been with his armies. Instead, he was home, and then he was idle. We're told he had nothing to do, so he's just wandering the top of the palace. And he looked over, and he saw a woman. She was taking a bath. Now, there's his third mistake. He should have quietly backed up and gone back into the palace so that he couldn't watch her. But he made his fourth mistake. He stayed there and watched her. And then he made another mistake. This mistake was he let his desires and his lust take control. So he sent and investigated to find out who she was. And he was told specifically that that was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Well, now here comes another mistake. You see how when we make a mistake with God, when we sin, how it all multiplies? Well, this time, he said, well, bring her to me. And they brought her to him, and he went to bed with her. And she became pregnant. Now, you got one mistake when he committed adultery with her, keeping in mind that both she and David were married at this time. He's going to marry Bathsheba later in life, but you realize that made his eighth wife. And then time goes by, and she sends David a message. She says, I'm pregnant. Well, now David has to figure out how to solve this problem. He don't want his whole kingdom knowing that he's committed adultery. I don't know what he thought about God and God's knowledge. So he says, I got a plan. I'll have Joab send Uriah home. And then he'll take the time to lay with his wife, and everybody will think that it's his child 9 months from now when the baby's born. Well, that was a mistake too. Uriah refused to go home. Uriah says, I can't go home and sleep with my wife and enjoy domestic harmony when all my friends and cohorts are facing the trials of battle and risking their lives. So he wouldn't go home. David did everything he could to get this guy to go home, and he wouldn't do it. So finally, David commits the ultimate. David comes up with a plan. He's going to send Uriah back to the armies. But he sent a letter with him. Can you imagine the audacity and the diabolicalness of sending the order of death by Uriah to take back to Joab? And he says, when they get in the battle, put Uriah in the hottest, most dangerous spot, and then pull all your armies back so Uriah stands alone. And sure enough, Joab did that, and Uriah was killed. And as Joab sent to David and said, I've followed your will, the man is dead. Now David, for some reason, thought it was okay to go ahead and marry her. Do you know marrying the one you committed adultery with doesn't solve the problem with God? Well, she was pregnant, time went on, and guess what? the baby's born. And God took the baby. Now, we find that David took that very hard. But, you know, Nathan told him ahead of time. Remember, he told the story about the man that had that one ewe lamb that his children loved so much. It was part of the family, even sat at the table with him. And then the rich guy had some company come, and he didn't want to take one of his many sheep. So he took that one man's little lamb that was a pet in the family, like a family member, the Bible says, and slew him and fed his visitor. And remember what David said? The Bible says he was wroth. He was angry. And he says, tell me who that man is and I'll see that he is dead. I wonder how David felt when Nathan pointed the finger at him and says, thou art the man. And then David realized that he had messed up. But Uriah tells him, you know, there's some things going to happen. First of all, she's going to have the baby, but it's going to die. And you're going to find that you're going to be at war with everybody. As long as the world lasts, the sword's not going to leave the house of Israel. And he says, you're going to have problems in your own family. Your own sons are going to try to take the kingdom. And you're going to have uprisings created by your sons. And he says, your wife's going to have other men in public. God doesn't let sin lie. Well, everything came about, and the baby was born, and David was about to be real joyous. He's got a son, and guess what? The baby gets sick. So David goes in the morning stage and won't eat, won't sleep, won't bathe, because he's trying to pray to God and get that baby's life saved. But finally, the baby died. And they say that this is the psalm that David wrote when he was going through the mourning process for his sin. I've never lost a child to death, but I've dealt with families that have. And it's a terrible thing for a parent to outlive their offspring. It's hard on them. Probably the hardest thing you have to deal with life. I lost my father. I've lost a brother. I've lost a father-in-law. I've lost two brother-in-laws. I've lost uncles and cousins. But I cannot imagine losing a child. David went through that. And of course, this psalm's written in the best Davidic style, and it was probably written in his later years. But people still think he's dealing with the death of that boy. But let's go ahead and look at what he says in this psalm. He says some powerful things. To start with, in verses 1 and 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is written within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And if you drop down verse 22, he repeats, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David is saying that every one of us, not just humans, by the way, take a look at what he says. He says everything that God has created needs to be blessing the Lord. In other words, if you take that word blessedness down to its utmost etymology, he's saying we need to be working to make the Lord happy, glorious, and how much we appreciate him. And we should continually to live so. After all, we would be nothing without God. Everything we have is God's. The car I drove over here to Phoenix in actually belongs to God. The clothes on my back, the food that I eat, the home my wife and I live in, those actually all belong to God. And we need to be blessing him, taking respect to his name. I just shudder every time I hear someone take the Lord's name in profanity. You know, it's bad enough to take it in vain. And that just simply means you're using the Lord's name in a way that you shouldn't be. It doesn't necessarily mean profanity. If you're claiming to be a Christian and not looking and acting like one, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. But profanity? Where do we get the right to call God's damnation down on anything? And yet people do it all the time. But his name is precious. David says it's holy. Remember what God said? David records it later on in Psalm 111. He says, "Holy and reverent is thy name, O Lord." We need to be blessing the Lord, giving him due credit. And look at verses 3 and 4. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Do you realize God's forgiveness is what makes us go? None of us will ever see eternal life without the goodness of God, without his forgiveness, without him paying the cost of all my iniquities on Golgotha's mountainside nearly 2,000 years ago. And verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." There's two things I want to point out in this verse. First of all, he says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." All we can eat, God gives us. He provides our sustenance. Remember Jesus in the model prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." God provides for us. He tells us that just as the birds of the heavens, they do no work. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't gather in the barns. They don't sow seed. But God feeds them. He does that for us. And he says, because of it, our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, 31 is probably my favorite verse in the scriptures, because it tells me, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." And I'm finding that day by day, when I hear the alarm go off and I start trying to move my joints, I'm getting this snap, crackle, pop sensation, that when I think about it, during the day I don't have those problems. God gives me strength. And you know, this restrengthening like the eagles, sometimes I go to bed late at night trying to do whatever work I got to get done. A lot of time it's for this radio program and the people that are contacting me. And I really appreciate them. But I go to bed pretty tired at times. But you know, somehow in the morning, I got all my strength back, such as it is at my age. And it just seems like God keeps giving me the ability to continue on. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." The Lord sees that the right things are done in our life if we're walking with him. You know, the venerable apostle once wrote, "For all things work together for the good to those that love God." And catch this: to those who are walk according to his purpose, or is called, as the King James says, according to his purpose. If we are walking with God, being what we ought to be, doing what we ought to be, saying what we ought to be saying, God will see that righteousness comes to us. And those that oppress us, he'll take care of. Remember, the same apostle wrote in Romans chapter 12, "For vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord." And I like the last three words of that verse: "I will repay." God will take care of us. And he'll see that in all things in our life will work together, that it all come out to the proper judgment. And David writes in verse 7, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts under the children of Israel." There is nothing secret with God when you think about it. David said he made known his ways unto Moses. We know what we need to know about God. You know, someone one time said I was kind of arrogant because I made the statement that I know exactly what God's going to do tomorrow. And so do you if you think about it. You know what God's going to do tomorrow? The same thing he did today. the same thing he did yesterday. He's there for us, and we know what he wants. We know who he is. If we'll just ignore the scientists and pay attention to the scriptures, and just open your eyes and look around you. I don't understand the mentality of someone that thinks this world just happened. It makes no logical sense. But God made known all his ways to Moses, and as his children, he makes his ways known to us. And then we read, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. God is merciful. I don't know all the sins I've committed in my life, but I know I'm forgiven of them because God is merciful. If I trust in Christ and do what Christ would have me to do, God takes my sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, I could ask, if you start out from Phoenix traveling east, how many hours do you got to travel before you reach west? You know, you never will reach west. You'll keep going east. If you go around the world and you get back to Phoenix, east is still in front of you. You can keep on going. That's how God does. He says, as a father looks upon his children, so the Lord will look upon us that fear him. He knoweth our frame because he created us from the dust. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what gifts and talents he's given us. And because of that, he can deal with us as we need to be dealt with. He says he won't always chide us, nor will he keep his anger forever. There's grace in there. There's mercy in there. And there's love in there. He knows that our days are as grass. And eventually, we're going to flourish, but then the wind's going to pass over it, and we will be gone. Verse 13, he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth him that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. After God created the world, he created Adam from the dust of the ground. He formed him, then breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. You know, David's son wrote that the days are coming when the man, the physical part of us, is going to go back to dust, but our spirit's going to rise to God. You'll find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. And then we read, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Yes, we're planted as grass. We're very temporary. David also wrote in the Psalms, that as for man, our days are numbered. We get 70. That's 70 years. And you know something? I'm 69 years old. You know how close that is to 70? He says, reason of strength, he might get 80 years. But as Isaiah says, then we're all going to fade as a leaf. James says, our life is just a vapor. But you know what? I love this verse we're going to end with, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is in control no matter what happens. I watched on the news today that our president is in Ukraine and Poland, and we've got some terrible things going on over there. Korea's shooting off more missiles. China's been threatening us. But you know, God's still in control. And I know there's a lot of talk about the upcoming election. Will Trump do this? Will Biden do this? What about that lady in the southeast that's going to run for president? You know, no matter what happens, God is in control. This is what we've got to remember. we've got to remember to praise God through all things. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 a.m. by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are Churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Marinci area, stop by and worship with the Marinci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you're in Cocoa, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, or I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you would like a compact disc of this program or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 8th through the 12th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona Lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week, with over 50 speakers, each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and are welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Until we meet again at the same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.